Hello and welcome to another sermon podcast from the parishes of Bulbra and Clown. A happy Easter to you all. This is the sermon that I preached on Easter Day 2019. I wonder if you're any good with names. Names are really important, aren't they? We carefully choose the names of our children and pets. Sometimes we don't choose other names people call us. Perhaps you have a nickname you've never been able to shake. I've got quite a difficult name. Some people struggle to pronounce it. I often get called Byrony or Bethany or any other name that begins with B other than my own. And as for the spelling, well, don't get me started. Being called by your name correctly can make all the difference in being made to feel welcome. I have to confess, as a priest, I always feel such a tremendous sense of relief when I remember someone's name just in the nick of time. Jesus had a bit of a thing for names too. He gave nicknames to a lot of his mates. He called Simon the name Kephas or Peter, basically calling him Rocky. He called James and John the sons of thunder. I always wondered whether that referred to them constantly arguing or their slightly pushy mother. Remember, she's the one who gets her boys to ask Jesus if they can sit on his right and left in the kingdom. Names are about who we are, our identity. Even our nicknames are precious because it is usually only the people closest to us that use them. Names feature heavily in the resurrection accounts. Today we heard again the beautiful account from John's Gospel, where Mary Magdalene, the only woman to have a surname equivalent in the New Testament, goes to fetch Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved, who we think is John, to see the empty tomb. The men run to the tomb, but on finding it empty, they don't know what to do with themselves, and so, in a rather devastating sentence, the Gospel writer says, "Then the disciples returned to their homes, leaving Mary weeping by the empty tomb." She had hoped Peter would know what to do, but he lets her down and leaves her to grieve alone. Mary stoops into the tomb again and hears a voice asking her why she is crying. And she repeats the refrain that she said to the disciples, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Notice that she doesn't say the Lord, but my Lord. She has lost her closest friend, the one who drove seven demons from her, the one who restored her life. Perhaps Mary stays at the tomb when the men run home because she has already experienced resurrection in her life. She once had seven demons, we are told. Perhaps this is a first century way of saying that she had intractable mental health problems. And Jesus gave her back her life. She knows that Jesus is the one who brings new life. Perhaps that's why she stayed by the tomb. A little niggle that something might happen. And it does. A figure behind her says, "Woman, why are you crying?" She says, thinking he's the gardener, "If you've taken him away, show me where you have put him." Then Jesus utters one word. Mary. This word breaks the spell of grief. Jesus calls his friend by name. Love wells up inside Mary and pours out with her reply, "Rabboni," and she tries to hug him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is profoundly personal. Not only does Jesus restore Mary by calling her name, but also later on Peter when he appears on the beach after the disciples have been fishing. And of course we have our old friend Thomas. Jesus, as he emerges from the tomb, comes to us in our grief and calls us by name. It is no coincidence that we renew our baptismal vows on Easter Day and we baptise people on this day. At a baptism, I say to the person being baptised, "God has called you by name and made you his own." Then they are baptised and in some traditions completely immersed in the water as a sign of dying with Christ and then brought out of the water as a sign that they are raised with Christ. Jesus went through death first and emerged resurrected, and we with him will follow the same pattern, called by name and given new life. Imagine for a moment that you are sitting beside the empty tomb. Perhaps you've been going through a hard time recently. Think about the things in your life that you are grieving over. Jesus comes to you in the midst of that pain and suffering. Having been there himself, he comes to you and he breathes your name.